Good morning, everyone. Join me in the doxology, please. Everyone stand. Great to see all of you here this morning on this right frosty January morning. Notice when I come by Kenny's, the smoke was coming out of that smokestack, that furnace at the back of his house, big time. But it's good to be in God's house, and I'm glad that you chose to be here. You know, you made an effort. In spite of the cold weather, you made an effort to be here, and we appreciate that. And I know the Lord appreciates that. And I know that there'll be an investment that you made and a return that you'll receive from the Lord if you just wait and let Him speak to your heart. Let Him direct your life. Whatever it is you need, He'll meet that need. Let me pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for this group that's gathered. Thank you for those, anyone that might be in the parking lot. Thank you for those that will listen later on the website. Lord, we know that there are people that do that, and we thank you for that. Lord, today is your day. We give you honor and glory and praise. We welcome your presence. We know that you're here. And so, Father, just open our spiritual ears to hear what you have to say. And, Lord, bring glory to yourself. Bring honor to yourself in all that you do here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to see you all this morning. Everyone's out and about. And put the extra coat on this morning. You'll be all right. You'll be okay. Nice and warm inside, Jeff. Thank you. He gets here early, makes sure the log's on the fire, and everything's going to be fine. And I do thank you, sir, for all of that. So let's sing the hymn this morning. The hymn song this morning, hymn sing this morning is going to be Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Isn't it good to know that you know that you know? Amen. Amen. Jesus is mine. Blessed Assurance. That's all, stand, please.
Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a force.
everyone said, amen. Welcome, son. Well, this morning I want to share a few announcements with you and do that along as we go forward this morning. I still want to remind all of you about Wednesday night. We still have our Wednesday night prayer service, and we encourage you all to come and be part of that Wednesday night service. And Pastor Ed will be starting a new series, and that'll be a great time for you to start and be with us. We'd love to have you to be with us. Thursday night is an important night for you Building the Grounds Committee people. Thursday night, the 25th, be here at 6:30. And be ready, Robert and the rest of you, come to your Building the Grounds meeting, okay? And let's see, we got a quarterly conference today, so everyone be ready as we go. That will be at the end of the service. This is also Sanctity of Life Sunday, and it's a very important Sunday. I'm going to read this in the bulletin because I do believe it is so important, and that is, today we celebrate the 40th anniversary of Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. What a blessing to celebrate God's abundant life with the whole world. We will disperse bottles in the congregation. You can then take them for the next few weeks and fill your bottles with change, cash, or check. But don't forget to return them to your bottle back to church on February the 11th. We will have a guest speaker on February the 11th. And I also believe we have a speaker this morning who'd like to share with us. Tamara, if you would, please. Thank you, Tamara. I absolutely. Amen. The bottles is... Okay, I see them. Everyone, they're right here on the front pew to come by and just take your bottle and fill it up. And then get another one if you like. Fill it up too. That'll be good. Sanctity of life. I'm so glad that we Baptists, for the most part, take a firm stance on that. And that we're a part of that and we believe in that. All life's important. I know we, in our younger class this morning, we taught the lesson about the Great Commission and how important God's Word is to everybody. All life is important. All life is important in God's eyes. And then, so I'm just so glad that we take that position. So let's all get behind that and be part. Yes, go, Jen. Okay, the question was, in case you didn't hear, if you want to write a check either to Barber's Grove or a pregnancy resource. Either one that'll be taken care of. Brenda will make sure, otherwise that'll be done, okay? All right, are there other announcements that I may have overlooked this morning? Okay, I do have one other thing I want to read in the bulletin here in memory of Bertie Hatley. It's that a donation has been made to the church by the Baptist to the Baptist Children's Home in memory of Bertie Hatley, given by Carol Kelly. A donation has been made to our church in memory of Bertie Hatley, given by Judy Helms. And we appreciate those thoughtful people and those gifts to a wonderful, wonderful memory of Aunt Bertie. What a wonderful person she was indeed. All right, any other? Okay, then let's go to our prayer request this morning. I've been asked to put Nell Jackman on our prayer list this morning. Let's remember Nell. She's having a few problems the digestive way, and we need to keep her on our prayer list. I also have two unspoken requests this morning that has been given to me, and we need to lift those up before the Lord. I can't give you any details on that, but God knows. That's the main one. God knows. Anyone else? Any? Okay. Okay. Yes, you did. I didn't bring my notes from Wednesday night. I'm sorry about that. So, yeah. Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, Lionel. Let's remember those who have lost loved ones, okay?
Also, I added a tragic name, the family of Kyle Gordon, that's on my list. He's a young man that went to our high school and we found him deceased on Friday. So please pray for that family. Pray for all teachers and people that were involved in his short life.
Okay. Kyle Gordon.
Okay.
All right. Are there others? All right. Then let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we come to you in prayer. Lord, we also come to you and with thankful hearts. Lord, we want to thank you for the blessings you've given us. We thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we even thank you for the weather you send our way because, Lord, you know what we need. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for those that are here this morning who have braved the elements and they're here and with their warm hearts, we're glad to see them. But now, Lord, we're thankful this time of worship that you've given us. A time, Lord, in freedom when we can worship and worship your name. But then, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, Lord, we're still being mindful, Lord, there are prayer requests that we need to remember. And Lord, we believe in being specific to you when we ask for these things. So Lord, I'm going to ask, Lord, that we remember and come to you in prayer for Nell Jackman this morning. We lift her up to you, Lord. We pray for her that she'll get better. We pray for healing of her body. The two unspoken requests we have, Lord, we don't know who they are or what the request is about, but Lord, you know. And Lord, we'd ask that you would fit a blessing to the hearts and the lives of those involved. And Lord, I know if you will fit that blessing, it'll be a perfect fit. And we ask that today, Lord. We pray for Mike Bulletin. We pray for Cameron Stroud, Bobby Eford and the family. We pray for those who've lost loved ones, Lord, those who are suffering in pain, Lord, and we don't even know who they are, Lord, but we know that those are needing you today, Lord. And we pray for Kyle Gordon. We lift him up to you as well. We pray for our pastor, Lord, who will be coming forward in a few moments, Lord, and to share with us your word and your message for today. We lift him up to you, Lord. We pray for our business conference that follows. We thank you, Lord, for those who are willing, Lord, to continue, Lord, to support and carry on the business activities of our church. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that this church does belong to you, but you expect us to work too as well. Thank you, Lord, for those that do. And now, Lord, as we go forward, we ask a special blessing upon all who will have a part in the service today. And those who are traveling, Lord, we don't want to forget them. We ask traveling mercy for them. Lord, we pray for those, Lord, who may not have enough warmth today. We pray for them as well. Lead and God direct us, Lord, as we go forward. In your blessings we do pray. In your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a song this morning that we sang before, but it's just a great song. It reminds me of Isaiah when he went down to the old potter's house and the potter was
working on the wheel, and he broke the clay, and he didn't throw the clay away. He just kept working to make a new one. That's what Jesus does with our lives as well. We do make mistakes. He can take that, but Jesus is our potter, and he can change our heart, and it change our life. Let's all stand and sing, "Change My Heart, Oh God."
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the
seated. Children, you are dismissed.
A minute ago when Leonard prayed about those who don't have enough warmth, popped in my mind something I saw in the news, my news, I think it was yesterday, that shows the absolute foolishness and hard-heartedness of some people. Out in the Midwest where people are freezing to death on the streets, there's a preacher that opened his church to let homeless folks come in and sleep where it was warm. City officials said it's against zoning code, so you got to quit it. He said, "I'm not quitting it," so he's now in court facing 17 charges of breaking the law. They'd rather people freeze to death because of some silly regulation. And you know, folks, we need to pray for people whose hearts are that hard. Amen. We need to pray for people whose hearts are that hard. That's extra. I just happened to think about it, depending on what Leonard prayed. You know, last week when I was giving my testimony, I didn't say a lot about the years at the Big Oak Curb Market and farming and all of that thing. So I thought I'd start there. All those years ago, June, July, August, 3 o'clock in the morning, when my dad came to the bedroom and said, it's time to get up, go to the peach orchard, I didn't turn back over and think, well, I'll sleep till 7 and those baskets on the back of the truck will be full when I wake up. No, I got up, got dressed, got my younger brother Roger, because he and I almost always went to the orchard together, and then went around the neighborhood. Usually there was another young boy to his age that would go with us. And we'd head to the peach orchard and down close to Spartanburg. I didn't pull up close to the trees and lay down in the truck to go to sleep, thinking, well, those baskets will fill themselves. I didn't even take empty baskets and out there and put them under the trees and hope that the wind would blow enough peaches off the tree to fill those baskets. It didn't work that way. You know it didn't work that way. I had to take a basket and go out there and sometimes bend over to the lower branches. Sometimes I could pick straight up. Sometimes I had to stretch up and as high as I could stretch. And a time or two I had to climb a tree to get the peaches that were at the top. But it took some effort. Notice what I'm saying is there's no lazy man's way to get a truckload of peaches. You had to work at it. In the same way, there is no lazy man's way to spiritual growth. There is no lazy man's way to spiritual growth. Now, salvation is free. But even salvation, you have to take. If I were standing here with a basket full of $100 bills and I say, anybody want one? You got to come get it. Or if you remember those school days, you fold up a piece of paper, make a little paper airplane and throw it across the room when the teacher's not looking. Or maybe you never did that. Even if I threw a $100 bill at you, you got to catch it or you got to pick it up off the floor or the bench beside of you. You can get it, it's free, but you got to take it. But when it goes to spiritual growth, we have to make a conscious effort to grow spiritually. You're just not going to happen because you haphazardly goofed off and said, well, you know, like if I put that basket there, sooner or later it's going to get full. You know, there are people that seem to think that way. You know, I'll just dawdle through life and sooner or later, by osmosis, I'm going to be saved. Or like I wrote about this week in the newsletter, folks that just sort of assume that somehow, out of the blue, their kids who seldom, if ever, went to church are going to be saved and go to heaven. And it just doesn't happen. You know, we think about people that we admire, the Billy Grahams. Folks that are spiritual giants, folks that have a special walk with God. And we say, you know, I'd like to be like that. We think about people in the Bible that we look up as heroes of our faith. We say, you know, I'd like to be like that. I'd like to have the kind of relationship with God that they have. Or they had back in Bible days. Well, you could have. The Bible has a very clear word. God is no respecter of persons. So whatever God gives to one, he will give to others. Now, I realize that your spiritual gifts may be a little bit different than mine but different from the person that's sitting beside of you. Because God chooses you to give spiritual gifts so that you can minister in the body of Christ and in the world at large. But basically, bottom line is, God does not respect persons. He'll bless you just like he blessed anybody else. What's that little old song? And it's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Is that the way it goes? Is that the way it goes? Now, let's go through the Bible. And I'm not going to read all of these passages. You might want to write down a lot of them and go back and look at them later. The first one is from Exodus 33. And I mention this one often because it just blesses me when I look at it. Exodus 33, verses 10 and 11. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again unto the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now think about what that just said. You remember the cloud led the children of Israel by day, and the pillar of fire led them by night. And it says here, at certain times, that cloudy pillar came and just stood over the tabernacle, that place that God had instructed them to build as a place of worship. And all of the people stood at the doors of their tents scattered around, and they worshiped God sort of from afar, from wherever their tent was, but they worshiped God. Moses was in the tabernacle, and he and God spoke face to face as friends. And then after a certain length of time, Moses went back to his tent, went back into the camp. But what does it say about Joshua? He stuck around because he wanted more of God. He wasn't satisfied with what Moses had. He didn't want to just live off of Moses' anointing. He wanted it for himself. And it says he stayed. And eventually, you know, Joshua replaced Moses and became the leader of the people as they took the promised land. And, you know, it just hits me. There are people, you know, Mama was such a great Christian. Daddy was such a great Christian. Grandpa was a preacher. You can't live off of Mama's anointing. You can't live off of Granddaddy's anointing. Your own anointing is there for you to take. It's yours. But you have to take it. Joshua could have done other things. But Joshua stayed behind to make sure he had some time with God, just himself. When you go on to another one that stands out in at the end of 1 Kings 19 and then 2 Kings 2, you have the story of Elisha. The story of Elisha. And you remember Elijah got discouraged. And God says, I got work for you to do. I want you to go anoint Elisha to take your place. And so in 1 Kings 19, verses 19 and 21, he goes to Elisha, and Elisha says, the scripture says, he's out there plowing with 10 yoke of oxen. Now, I don't know whether he had 20 oxen hooked to one plow, whether there were 10 of them out there plowing. Usually you two oxen per plow, so whether he had nine friends out there helping, I don't know, but they're out there plowing. And then lo and behold, when God through Elijah calls him to the prophetic ministry, it says they had a barbecue. He killed all those oxen, had a community party. It'd be like David going home and giving away all of his tractors. It's like, I am totally sold out to following the will of God for my life. And then later when you get to 2 Kings chapter 2 verses 11 and following, Elijah comes and tells Elisha, this is my last day. I'm leaving. I'm going to heaven. He says, you might as well stay here. I'll see you in glory. Elisha says, oh no, I'm going with you. And so they go to another place and Elijah says, just stay here. Elisha says, no, I'm not staying here. I'm going with you. And several times Elisha has the opportunity to slow down and stop and just sit. But every time he says, no, I'm going on with you, Elijah. Finally, Elijah says, what is it you want anyway, son? He said, I want double your anointing. I want twice of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in my life that you've got. I've seen you do miracles. I want more than you've got. And Elijah said, if you see me go, you'll get it. And it wasn't long after they'd crossed the Jordan River that chariot of fire came. And they took off to Elijah took off to glory. And Elisha saw him go up. And if you go back and count the miracles that Elisha did, he did twice as many as Elijah did. If I remember correctly, Elijah did 7 and Elisha did 14. But anyway, he did twice as many miracles. He was not satisfied. I mean, he could have stayed at any one of those spots and missed out on that anointing, but he says, no, I'm going to invest enough of my life in to get all of that anointing. You think about Peter and James and John, Andrew. And Jesus passed by and he says, come follow me. It says they left their father and they left the boat and they left their nets and they followed him. They gave up their livelihood. They gave up their, I know that they later used those boats some, but in a sense they said, Jesus, we're going to follow you and you're responsible for us from now on. They were willing to do whatever it took. You think about another one from the Old Testament. When Naaman comes to Elisha, Naaman was a Syrian army officer, but he had leprosy. And Elisha didn't even go out to speak to him, just sent a servant out and said, just go take a dip in the Jordan 7 times. And it ticked him off. He said, that's a muddy, dirty river, and we got clean rivers where I'm from. And his servant said, now listen, if he'd have told you to do something hard, you'd have done it. That's a simple little thing to do. Go do it. Well, he goes and he dips in the Jordan 1 time, and he probably looked and see if the leprosy had gone away, and it hadn't. And he dipped a second and a third and a fourth time, and he probably think, you know, that prophet's just a sham. He's just a fake. He's just a pretense. But when he dipped that 7th time and he came up, he was healed. I mean, it took persistence. It took persistence. You think about when Jesus called Matthew, sitting by his tax collecting booth. Says Matthew immediately left it all and followed Jesus. Gave it all up to follow Jesus. And you know, the Bible's just full of those stories. In Matthew 15, the story of the Syrophoenician woman. You know, Jesus goes to Tyre and T-Y-R-E. Not a car tire, but a town named Tyre. And this woman comes up and goes to bugging him. My daughter needs to be healed. My daughter needs to be healed. And the disciples, they had about as much patience as I have sometimes. Jesus, just tell this woman to go home. And you remember Jesus says, lady, healing, it belongs to the children. Should I give it to dogs? She says, hey, the little puppies will take the crumbs. He said, I've never seen faith like that. Your daughter's healed, going home. And when she got home, her daughter was healed. You see, this lady was persistent. What's the song the kids sang? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. And he went and climbed up the sycamore tree. I mean, here was somebody that wanted to see Jesus. And he wanted to see Jesus so much that he couldn't push his way through the crowd because he was a little dude. So he finds a tree. He says, Jesus is coming down the road this way. Over here's a tree I can climb in. I'll be right there when Jesus comes by. And guess what? Jesus stopped and says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. And that day, Zacchaeus came into the family of God because he was persistent. Persistent. You think about the woman with the issue of blood. To be out in public was a stonable offense. To get through a crowd was hard. I mean, I know sometimes, no more than we have here at Barbie's Grove, I may see somebody back over here in the corner after service that I want to go see or talk to about something, and just getting from here to there with the aisle full is sometimes difficult. I may think, is there a way around over here or over yonder I can get there? Can you imagine this woman? She's been sick for years. And she's desperate. And she says, I've heard of his healing, and I believe if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And some way or another, she pushes her way through the crowd and reaches out and touch, and she's healed. Now that's persistence. That's somebody seeking the blessing of God until they got it. Think about Bartimaeus. You know, Jesus walking by, Bartimaeus is blind. What's that crowd I hear? Oh, that's Jesus and his disciples coming by. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And what did the crowd tell him? Shut up. Shut up. Jesus doesn't have time for you. And he says, he cried the more the louder. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops and says, bring him over here. And then all of a sudden the crowd says, he wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. Bartimaeus, what do you want? I want to see. And Jesus healed him right there. Now Bartimaeus could have sat there and Jesus could have walked by and he could have missed his healing. Bartimaeus could have shut up whenever they told him to shut up and he would have missed his healing. But because Bartimaeus was not satisfied, he got his healing. And it says he followed Jesus. He followed Jesus. And it's so important that we do this. One other that always amazes me, it says there was a house full of people. It was almost like they were having a Southern Baptist Convention meeting or a State Baptist Convention meeting. It says a house full of religious leaders, and it says the presence of the Lord was there to heal. And these four guys come carrying a stretcher with a paralyzed friend on it, and none of these turkeys will let them in the door. I mean, we was here first. Sorry you got here late. We're not moving aside. But what did they do? They climbed up on the roof, tore a hole in the roof, and let the man down right in front of Jesus. Now that's persistence. That is persistence. I mean, somebody's going to fix this man's roof when it's over with. But it's all worth it because Jesus said, son, your sins are forgiven. And they didn't like that. So he said, son, you're healed. And he rolls up his mat and walks out the door. You see, they were not satisfied with just getting him close to Jesus. They had to get him right there with Jesus. And you know, it's interesting. It says the power of God was there to heal. But as far as we know, that man was the only one that got healed. All of those religious bigwigs missed out. Because they were there to gripe and complain about Jesus. Now, all of these scriptures, and we could go to so many others, show that God willing to bless if we will seek the blessing and strive for the blessing. But you know, it didn't always work that way. What about the rich young ruler? Lord, what have I got to do to get eternal life? Well, what about this? I've been doing that all my life. Well, what about your money? He says he went away sorry because he was rich. He let money stand in the way of his blessing from God. And then there's another person in the Bible that Jesus said, would you come follow me? And he said, I will after I wait around for my dad to die and then I bury him and then I'll come follow you. He had some other excuses not to come. And then you remember Jesus told the parable where the three were invited to the banquet. And one of them said, I'd love to come, but I just bought some property and I got to go see what it looks like. It doesn't sound real smart to buy a property that you've never seen, but that's what that was his excuse. And the other guy said, well, I bought some oxen. I got to go see if they'll pull a plow. Again, that doesn't seem real smart to buy whether you know they pull a plow or not. And then the third one said, well, I just got married, and she won't let me come. Now, that isn't what the scripture said. He didn't blame his wife. He just said, I can't come. People that missed out for various reasons because they weren't willing to pay the price to walk with Jesus. The Bible is full of great men and women of God who are great men and women of God because they were willing to go the extra mile to follow Jesus. They were committed, sold out. Spiritual maturity, spiritual growth, spiritual power doesn't just fall off the tree into our little basket. We've got to make a commitment to follow the Lord. We've got to make a commitment. Now, we can long for a more powerful relationship with the Lord all we want to. But until we're willing to proceed in commitment, it's not going to happen. What Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They're the ones that will be filled. I think about my little puppy dog. She's got to be a pest. She just wants to be loved all the time. If I lay down in the bed, she either lays in front of me or behind me. If I get in a recliner, about half the time, she wants in my lap. If I stretch out on the couch, she wants to jump right on top of me. She wants loved all the time. And she gets it. And sometimes I just say, Heidi, you're a pest. but she craves daddy's love. Do you crave the love of Jesus? Do you crave your Heavenly Father's love? He'll never call you a pest. You can go to him 24/7. He'll never, never, never make you feel unwanted, unloved. He's always there for you. And he wants to love on you. He wants to impart in you a double anointing. He wants you to be strong, comforted, powerful. It's not automatic, but it's possible. And the Lord's waiting upon us. It's like me standing here with that basket of $100 bills. You can have them if you want them. And you can have the power and blessing and comfort of the Lord if you want it. But you got to want it. You can want it and never make an effort. And it'll never happen. You remember, I don't know, it's been about maybe 2 months ago, I wrote about the going by the gym at 4:30 in the morning in the car lot of the parking lot full of cars. Well, there's a lady that's 2 or 3 years older than me that I've known for 70 years. And she gets her newsletter, and so she texted me the day or two after she got that copy, and she says, "That was one of those cars was mine." She lives further from that gym than I do. And I'm thinking, 81, 82, 83 years old. And at 4:30 in the morning, several mornings a week, she's at that gym. No wonder she looks slimmer than she did 50 years ago. No wonder she still has stamina to serve the Lord. And driving by her house, there's a big garden out back. I don't know whether she or her husband tends it, but somebody does. She's paying a price. She's paying a price. If you're willing to pay the price, you can have spiritual growth beyond measure. You can have a walk with God that others will envy. But you have to pay the price. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? If you need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would you walk the aisle right now? If you need to come to the altar and pray, would you come? Perhaps where you are, you need to make a commitment. Lord, I've been hoping for spiritual growth like peaches falling into a basket caused by the wind. Or Lord, I need to be doing some Bible study. I need to be doing some praying. I need to be spending more time with you. You might want to make that commitment right where you are. Thank you for this day that you've given us. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, the Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.